welcome to Happy Hour. Happy Wednesday, everybody. Adam's pouring up cocktails. We're in celebration mode today. All is good, man, because the Tigers currently scoreless in the bottom of the third inning against the Houston Astros in game two of their wild card series.
I got a chance to check out the very tail end of the game yesterday, and wow, had me nervous.
You and me both, dude. Oh my God. I was sitting there, well, sitting here in studio doing the show and just like, oh my God, I might have a heart attack here, right here and now. Lord, take me now.
Don't do this to me, Lord.
But thankfully, and oh, would you like audio? I happen to have audio. I'll okay. Actually pull up. I've been rather fortunate that our friend up in Sandusky, our good buddy, Eddie Fury, has been sending me like the highlights and things.
Nice. So thanks, Eddie.
Yeah, you the man, dude. So he's been sending me like with the Lions stuff, these playoff games. That has been very, very nice. I'm trying to pull them up actually right now. And there we go. As it turns out, Facebook Messenger doesn't always necessarily like me on the desktop. That's always fun.
Yeah, it changes week to week.
It really, truly does. And it changes, you know, it changes into is a real pain in the ass.
Yeah. I mean, could you imagine if your car ran like Windows or Facebook? Like you're late for work.
Kid wouldn't run.
The steering wheel is now in the trunk.
Yeah, well, we're damn near there with this thing. We'll get you audio next. We'll talk about the Lions too this afternoon. And of course, we'll keep giving you live updates as we go on the Tigers. Like I said, right now you're in the bottom of the third, you're scoreless. When that changes, we will keep you updated. It is Happy Hour. Stick around. It's Solid State Radio. My, I tell you what, the pandemic really certainly made amateur bartenders out of all of us, did it not?
Kind of. You know, was it necessity is the mother of all inventions?
So, like, when we all went back to the bars, like, well, most people were like, oh, my God, is there any alcohol in this? I can't even taste it. Then there's a place I work, which is like, oh, yeah, this is about right.
Yeah, this is about right. Hey, you know, you think that's good. Pour some Scope in there. Yeah, some Listerine. There you go. Yeah, that'll really knock your socks off.
It just got that minty fresh taste. It's fantastic, really. But, no, the reason I say this is because we're sitting here pouring cocktails. Adam brought in some Jameson Orange and Cream Soda.
Yeah, my wife, I'm not saying invented it, but came across it on Facebook or something like that. And, you know, equal parts Cream Soda, Jameson Orange, tastes like a creamsicle, and I think so.
Equal-ish parts, give or take.
Yeah,
now, you had said that you mixed... You mixed a little less, so we're not as quite as pleased with the results.
Yeah, I kind of held back on the Jameson, but
like Dorothy mixed it perfectly, and you're like, I don't know about this.
Well, she poured like in rocks glass, and it was like 1-to-1.
Right. Well, she's a professional bartender.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess I'm technically a professional bartender, but also I'm the kind of professional bartender that's an alcoholic as well. So I sip this like, I taste alcohol. It's good. It's good. I like it. I'm that guy. I make
But you didn't even pour any of the cream soda. You just unscrewed the cap, waved the cap over the drink, and then put the cap back on.
I mean, that was enough, right? I think it's totally fine. It's fine. It'll be fine, Adam.
And a couple sips, everything's going to be just glorious for you.
Exactly. See, let me have my fun here, would you? Yep. We'll talk Tigers up next. Right now, here's Will Dorado at Solid State Radio. So while we're waiting on what is thus far a scoreless stalemate in Houston, let's talk a little bit about yesterday's game. I have audio.
Oh, yeah.
So first off, the hits from Thursday's game that got you a 3-0 lead.
I'm going to go with that fastball up and away again. Scoble sets, 3-0 Tigers in the 60-02. Swing and a miss. Up and away with a 99-mile-an-hour heater. Tarek Scoble's through six. The 3-0 pitch. Swing the line drive up the middle and pass to diving Pinion to center. Perez in to score. Meadows will stop at second. Myers close quickly. Jake Rogers got the green light, 3-0, and delivers a 1-0 lead in the second. The 1-0 pitch, swinging a line drive, base hit into the center. Meadows is going to be waved around third. Myers up with the ball. Throw to the plate is not in time. Over to third base goes Jake Rogers. Two out singles from Rogers and Sweeney, and the Tigers have a 2-0 lead. Yearling Wedding, the 2-2. Swing a shot up the middle into center field, a base hit. Jake Rogers will score. 3-2 out. RBI hits. Yearling delivers. 3-0 Tigers in the second.
And then in the ninth, it got a little bit dodgy. Jason Foley comes in and does not have success right off the jump. And then he turns over, or A.J. Hinch comes out, pulls him out, puts in Bo Breeski. We've now got, we get to bases loaded with two outs left in the game, or two outs in the ninth. One guy to go. Can Breeski pull this off?
Breeski sets the 2-2, line drive, caught by Spencer Torkelson at first. Oh, man. A little higher, it's into the corner, but Spencer Torkelson grabs it, pumps his fist, and the Tigers take game one in Houston.
And you really got to give credit there because, yeah, that he's not over-exaggerating. That was a one that could have easily been a base hit into right. That at the very least ties and possibly even ends that game. But Torque makes a beautiful snag at first, and you now have the Tigers tied up, or the Tigers taking the lead, rather, in game one of this series and going for it again today. Right now, they are in the fifth, still no score. And so far, the bullpen day thing seems to be working pretty well, if only, you know, the bats would respond. Didn't think we'd be here. My, am I excited for it, though.
Exactly. I mean, it was to the point where, okay, back even a couple of months ago, if they were up 3-0, I'm like, it's not over yet. They'll find a way to screw this up. But now, you know, I walked into a watering hole. I was watching the end of the game. Like, they're going to clamp down. They've got this. The fact that Houston was able to get one run in there was very kind of surprising, to be honest.
The way this bullpen's been pitching of late, absolutely rather surprising. And it was crucial you do this because you can't afford to waste a Tarik Skubal start when you have no other starters in your bullpen.
Right.
Or no other starters in your pitching staff, really. Like, it's all bullpen from there. Uh-huh. That's all you've got. In fact, today was a Tyler Holton quote-unquote start. He went a whole inning. Then they put in Brennan Hanafy, who managed to keep the damage to an absolute minimum thus far. Well, through an inning and two-thirds. They've gone through, like, they're on their third or fourth pitcher at this point.
Okay, here's something I should already know. When it comes to the bullpen, do they have to follow a certain order, or can the manager choose a different pitcher?
The only rule is now that when you put in a reliever, he has to face a minimum of three batters.
Okay.
Or, I think, finish an inning, something like that. Like, that's the only rule that currently exists with the bullpen. You can go to whoever, whenever you want. It's just, you know, how much do you really want to pitch guys on a bunch of short rest if they worked a ton of innings like the day prior or something? That's all that.
Right.
There's really the only issue that comes in there.
Gotcha.
So we'll keep you posted on the Tigers. We'll talk a little bit about the Lions coming up. Right now, though, here is the Black Keys at your local alternative, Solid State Radio. Weezer at Solid State Radio. We didn't get to touch on Monday Night Football yet. The Lions, of course, went in there, and
wow.
I was, what an impressive performance.
Oh, my God. Jared Goff, that's all you really need to say. I mean, everybody played well, but Jared Goff, 18 for 18.
That was literally a perfect game. I mean, you can't really ask for more than that.
Nope.
Like, 18 for 18 on the night, two touchdowns. Oh, two passing touchdowns. Oh, and a receiving touchdown.
Yeah, he ran one in himself. Apparently, that was his first in his NFL career.
That it was. Oh, you want audio? Because I have audio.
I would love to relive this moment.
Here's Dapper Dan on the call.
There's the snap. Jared on the end around gives it to Amon-Ra. He's going to throw it to Jared. It's on the end zone. Jared Goff. Baby on the receiving end of a pass from Amon-Ra St. Brown. Oh, Ben Johnson, I see you too. That is beautiful stuff.
Oh, gotta love that.
Goff just lofts that ball into the stands. Some lucky fans like, I caught a pass from Jared Goff.
I caught a pass from Jared Goff after Jared Goff caught a pass.
Knocked over my $25 beer, but I'm fine with this.
Don't even care. I'm fine with it. And they were just spreading the ball all around. First, you had multiple guys putting up, yeah, Jahmyr Gibbs put up two touchdowns on the night. Here's the second one.
Goff takes, turns, gives it to Gibbs, to his left, fighting. Did he get in? Yes, sir! Touchdown, Detroit Lions! Jahmyr Gibbs fighting for every inch, and he got the one he needed. And the Lions are on the board again. It is 20-7.
David Montgomery, of course, wasn't getting left out either. He's actually started off the scoring for the night.
Goff takes the snap, gives it to Demo, hit in the backfield, surges ahead, end zone, touchdown, Detroit Lions! Absorbed the contact, kept moving forward, found the house, and the Lions are on the board first.
We had said that a key thing would be here, you know, establishing the run, and you should be able to do that pretty early, given that, you had four of the key starting members of Seattle's defensive line not even playing in Monday night's game. So that was absolutely going to be a huge issue in establishing things on Sunday. And he also gave Goff plenty of room to do what he does best, to throw it downfield. And in fact, I've got some fun audio for you. Jameson Williams.
J-Mo.
J-Mo had him a day.
Goff turns, fakes to Gibbs. They pick up the blitz. Goff throws. It is caught.
Go, baby,
the
go.
50-yard line. That is J-Mo. Forget it. Easy. Gone. Nobody's going to catch him. You can't catch that man. J-Mo to the house. 70 yards from Jared Goff.
Oh.
And he slams it over the goal post. That's going to draw a penalty. You can't do that. But damage done.
Yeah. You can't do that.
Yeah. So it was a 15-yard penalty from the kick. And
but whatever, didn't matter. At that point, you were already up 35-20. What's an extra 15? You're fine.
They weren't
worried about it at all. And then if there were any possible lingering thoughts that Seattle would come back, Amon-Ra St. Brown put all that to bed.
Jared leans in. He's got the snap back and looking to throw. Jared looks, throws. Enzo got a man wide open. Did he get both feet down? Give me that signal, boys. Did he get both feet down?
Put him up.
Do we have anything yet? It's Amon-Ra St. Brown.
He's waiting.
Still nothing
all
yet.
All right.
I guess it's a touchdown.
He didn't have the signal yet. Yeah.
Does the guy blowing the horn, the commentators, they didn't care.
Delayed gratification.
The refs didn't even raise their arms. They're like, it's a touchdown.
Yeah, whatever. They'll figure it out.
Tell us otherwise, black and white striped zebra.
You got to love that sometimes Dan Miller and Lomas Brown are just as confused as the rest of us watching some of this. Makes me feel a little less bad when things like that happen. But all in all, great game for the Lions. Offensively, it was as good as it possibly could have been. There were a few things I was certainly concerned about on the defensive side of things, mostly the penalties. Oh, my God, the penalties.
There were too many penalties.
Between Terrion Arnold and Carlton Davis. And granted, Davis definitely made some good plays that I would say canceled out what bad he kind of did and what he cost them. And when you look back at some of those, a lot of the holding and pass interference-like things.
Right.
And, I sit back and look at those, and I can't even say that, That was a BS call. The refs had that wrong. No, there was a bunch of blatant clutching and grabbing and doing all the stuff that you were absolutely not supposed to do that's going to get called 20 times out of 20. Like, that's just, you can't really say much there.
So the grumblings in the message boards and everybody talking, I kind of want to get your two cents on this.
Shoot.
A lot of people are saying that Arnold has become kind of a liability.
There, I will say he is a liability in a lot of ways. Like, he's a rookie. And I think it's kind of a known thing at this point. Coming in at corner is one of the hardest positions to go and transition to the NFL in. It's just kind of because of the way the position is played and what is asked of you and the speed and the coverage you need to be able to, to pull off, like, it is probably the hardest position to immediately be able to apply as a kid out of college getting drafted into the NFL.
Right.
Like, there's a reason you don't see a whole lot of guys getting drafted very early in the draft in that position. And when they do, Jeff Okuda, you kind of scratch your head a little bit, and sometimes they struggle to adjust to the NFL game. Jeff Okuda. Like, it's just kind of – there's going to be growing pains there regardless. Unfortunately, it's something you just kind of are forced to deal with as a result of, you know, the outsized role that corners have kind of taken at this point in this league.
Yep.
He's not a bad corner. He will be fine, ultimately.
He's just young.
Exactly. And the thing with this secondary is you had seven passes defended, an interception, and a fumble recovery. You did give up nearly 400 passing yards, and you had the six penalties on the night between Davis and Terrion Arnold. But and you're absolutely not doing yourself any favors. You watch those replays on those penalty calls. It's like you're like just full on just yanking on jerseys, making it just blatant as you know as the day is long, man. You can't do that.
No,
you cannot do that stuff and expect you're going to get away with it. They get too clutchy and grabby, and it'll cost you. Thankfully, in this case, it didn't cost them too much because your offense was firing just so perfectly on Monday night. But it is a little bit of a concern. And seven pass breakups for a defense, though, that's pretty huge. And their coverage, yep, by and large, downfield has been pretty exceptional. Despite the fact that, yeah, you know, we do say, though, you know, there's a lot of, like, you could call pass interference on literally every single play in the NFL.
Yeah.
Like you're going to have a lot of cheating, a lot of getting away with things, a lot of holding that's going on that doesn't get called. I mean, look at all the no calls that have been done on Aiden Hutchinson this season. How many times that dude just blatantly being manhandled by O-linemen, and yep, nobody is calling that out at all. So, I mean, there's you got to kind of almost, you got to be better at getting away with it, making it not look so obvious. Like, you can't just be grabbing a bunch of a guy's jersey who doesn't have the ball and expect that, and then be shocked when you get a pass interference on that.
Yep, yep.
That's just kind of the way of the game, man. It frustrates me to no end. You also kind of have to accept, though, that there is some part of that that just is kind of part of the game. Like, you know, that's why these guys, you know, why these defenses are so good, because they get away with it but make it look like they're not actually doing it. Like, you're going to get some of those calls in there, but you got to make it look like that's not what you're doing. So, but ultimately, I can't be mad at the defense,
no,
but that's something that definitely has to be worked on.
Gamble's going to be looking at tape for that one. I'm calling those guys in. Superficial question.
Superficial answer.
Mine's just a statement. I kind of want to get your opinion on it.
Shoot.
So the helmet and the jersey configuration for the Lions was pure fire.
I love it. I absolutely love it. I'd be fine with them wearing those jerseys every game the rest of the season.
Oh, see, now I don't know about that. I don't know if I can go that far, because I do miss the silver helmets and everything else. But
I definitely
they were pretty awesome.
I'd like to see them worked in the rotation more, for sure.
Yeah.
I'm happy with them.
Maybe against divisional rivals. Or something like
primetime games, Lord knows you got enough of those.
Yeah, primetime games. There you go.
The primetime uniforms.
Well, I sent you a text. I was like, are they going to get sued by the Carolina Panthers? Because it seems like just about line in line with the Panthers.
You know, you're not wrong, but at this point, the Panthers are such a dumpster fire, I don't think they'd even like be paying attention enough to do anything. To be fair.
Yeah,
like, exactly. That's a team that's got plenty of their own problems to worry about that to not really concern themselves with our uniforms that much. Like, you got a problem with the uniform. That's adorable. That's cute. Well, now why don't you run along?
Grown-ups are playing.
Exactly. Oh, it is happy hour at your local alternative, Solid State Radio. Stick around. Okay, so we kind of have a long-standing policy on this radio show.
We do.
That we don't traditionally spend a bunch of time talking about people who died.
Yeah.
It's not really kind of what we do. We don't even play the song "People Who Died." Like, it's it's a thing around here. Because
I've played it. I should not have.
No. No, I have too. I think, like, you, me, yeah, Ren, and a couple other people. But, like, we don't really spend a lot of time dwelling on that sort of stuff. Because, like, no one wants to sit here and listen to us mourning people on the air.
Right.
It doesn't make for good radio, quite frankly. And a lot of times it's not people who are relevant to us or that we really have anything to say about, because we don't know a lot of these people. or they they didn't have a huge impact on our lives or whatever. Like, I think the only exceptions really have been like when Tom Petty died, when like
Van Halen.
Oh, did we on Eddie Van Halen? Yeah, I guess we did.
Yeah, didn't he die the same day they stormed the Capitol or something like that?
Oh, that's right. I forgot about that. And like we did for Petty, we did for, I think, Chris Cornell, but that was about it. But this is one I have to bring up only because there is a debate going on
around this guy. I don't know. There's so many people that died recently. I don't know who you're talking. Oh, wait a minute. I know exactly who you're talking about.
Oh, I think you'll figure it out pretty quick. So Pete Rose.
Yes.
So he passed the other day.
All-time hitter.
The hit king. And it brings up a question that, you know, there's been a lot of controversy over this over the years. I have my theory on it, but I have a feeling that I think I know the answer to this. Will he ever actually get, now that he's dead, now that lifetime ban is no longer a lifetime ban because right. we've exceeded his lifetime, is now the time that he gets into the Hall of Fame?
I'm going to backtrack a little bit. A lot of people were saying they should have let him in because he was they've been printing letters that he's sent to MLB. He's like, listen, I did this. I admitted to it. I want in. Let me in. He was begging to get into the Hall of Fame. So he wanted it. And they're like, kind of have to stick with this one. We said lifetime ban. We can't go back on it because, you know, future players, if they're worried about, you know, a lifetime ban, they have to know that we're serious.
Yeah, but here's the other thing with that. He was still betting on baseball, like, pretty much right up until he died.
Oh, he was a big gambler. He had his own, like, booth or some casinos.
Yeah, like, he was, like, a regular presence in Las Vegas.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he still was. He admitted that he did it, but it's... The question is, should they put him in? I think that'd almost be a slap in his face if they did it now.
Which is almost why I feel like they're going to do it. Because my thought on it is, they said it was a lifetime ban. And after he went and stonewalled every attempt to, like, here, at least come clean, admit to what you did. And, yeah. You know, the thing that was particularly said by the commissioner at the time was, you know, to show some... contrition, attempt to rehabilitate yourself was I believe the words from Bart Giamatti at the time. Uh-huh. And he didn't do that. In fact, he did the exact opposite of that. He spent so many years denying, oh, I never bet on baseball. I never bet on baseball. Okay, I bet on baseball, but I never bet on my team. Never, never bet on my own team.
Okay.
Okay, well, I did bet on my own team, but I never bet against my team.
That was digging the hole a little bit deeper for himself.
He did. So I don't feel sympathy for him in that he did this to himself by not in any way expressing any sort of contrition, admission of guilt, like actually being honest and forthright about what he knows that he did. So there was no way that Giamatti or Manfred or Selig were ever going to let him in knowing that, and even more so considering that he refused to give up betting on baseball.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was the big one. The fact that after all that, not only did he still not admit to all these things until well after they were proven to have been true, but that he's continued pretty much up until his last days to bet.
I would think that's a non-factor because, yeah, he's doing what he did to get himself in trouble, but after baseball basically kicked him out, they can't dictate to him. They can't be judging him on what he's doing. I mean,
well, they can if he ever wants to be off the permanently ineligible list.
I mean...
because he wanted to be involved still. He would have liked to still manage, be, you know, some sort of advisor in an organization or something. And literally none of that was ever possible as long as he continued to bet on baseball.
Yeah,
like, they hang that up, like, that rule. Like, it's hung and framed in, like, every clubhouse in the major leagues. There is the one golden rule that you absolutely, positively cannot violate is you cannot bet on baseball, period, full stop.
They're thinking 1909 all over again. And I get it. Will he get in now? I guess if they make the decision, I think they would have to really go to his son and kind of get his blessing for it.
I don't really think they needed blessing for it. I feel like it was more like they how I feel like this comes off because of the way he was. Like, you know, ultimately, if you're Rob Manfred or even the people on the Hall of Fame committee, like. The story of baseball cannot be told without Pete Rose, ultimately, at the end of the day. Like, he's such a big part of, I mean, he's the all-time hit king, man. Like, he was one of the all-time greats ever to do what he did.
That is a big burr in MLB's saddle because, they had to lay down the hammer. They had the rules. They had to stick to them, but it was against, like, one of the biggest players ever.
Exactly. And I get the feeling that they didn't want to they weren't about to, given how he had just how he'd treated them and how he'd been about this whole I didn't do this, like I'm gonna deny thing. They were never going to give him the satisfaction of letting him in his lifetime as long as he continued to be unrepentant about the things he did.
Yeah.
And now that he is gone, that he's not going to have the ability to bask in it, I feel like it could happen. I feel like now is the time when they would do it.
Yeah. I mean, he deserves to be in there.
He should be in there.
Yeah.
There is no doubt in my mind that he should be in there.
Just would they come across as the biggest D-bags if they decide to...
When has MLB ever really been that concerned about looking like D-bags, though? I mean, look at the entire Oakland saga right now.
Oh, my God.
Are they really that worried? Oh, my God, this is going to make us look bad. No, there's 25 other things that already make you look bad.
But this is the one du jour. This is the one right now.
Well, right. I mean, not the one right now, though. If they were really that concerned about looking like D-bags, they would have approved... They wouldn't have approved to move the A's out of Oakland.
Yeah.
That more than anything. So they don't care as long as they think it can benefit them in some way and they can get the money. I forget what the exact relationship between the Hall of Fame and MLB is, like if there even is one, like from a financial standpoint. Like, because I don't think MLB officially dictates the rules on these things at this point. Like, I think if the Hall of Fame committee really wanted to let Pete Rose in, he would be in. Like, I don't believe the commissioner could stop that. I think they kind of have an informal thing where we just don't go along with it.
Right.
Because, you know, they back up their league, and that's just kind of how that goes.
Yeah, they're definitely in cahoots with each other because, I mean, wouldn't that just be, a wonderful thing if MLB is like, yeah, you're banned, don't come back, and then... the Hall of Fame's like, yeah, you're in.
Right. There's probably some sort of like unspoken arrangement there that, we're not going to do this as long as he's alive.
Major League Baseball must bankroll a lot for the Hall of Fame. That's the only thing I can think of.
Yeah. So I guess what happened is a number of years ago, the Hall of Fame's board voted to exclude anyone banned from baseball from being inducted.
But isn't that something?
That really is. But, I mean, I don't think it's actually going to work out that way. Like, they're going to induct him eventually. Like, they say that, banned from baseball means you're banned. But, like, I don't think that they would. I mean, yeah, you have, like, a Shoeless Joe Jackson or someone like that who was excluded from back then because he was actively, like, throwing games and things. So, like, that doesn't surprise me. But I feel like there's a path where Pete Rose absolutely will get in now that he's dead. I would be shocked, honestly, if he didn't.
I kind of hope they wait a little bit, maybe a season or two before they do that.
They might. Like, I'm not saying it. Like, they're like the day after, they're going to be as totally ghoulish about it. Like, all right, now he can get
in. Now you're in.
I don't think they would do that, but I do think that... He will, within the next couple of years, they'll absolutely get in. It's going to be interesting to see with this, like, if they're going to do the same thing, if they're going to hold out with the guys that they've decided are steroid users, and then the ones who are actually admitted steroid users.
Oh, yeah.
Are they going to wait?
Seiko and...
Even though they're not banned from the game, are they going to wait until those guys die too?
I don't know. That's going to be an interesting one.
Because, like, they've already decided that these guys who are currently eligible are not getting in for one reason or another. Like, there's no reason that Barry Bonds realistically should not be in the Hall of Fame. Like, would they wait until after... Would they be so, like, cynical to wait until he's dead and then let him in? Would that be something that they would do? I think it's entirely within the realm of possibility, unfortunately.
I think that would make the Hall of Fame look very cold-hearted.
Here's the thing, though. The Baseball Writers Association of America does not give a single you-know-what about whether they're liked, whether they look petty. Because their entire, like, all of their voting, the way they vote on things, they already look extremely petty. Like, there's people who get, you know, basically blacklisted because, I mean, the official reason, oh, he was doing steroids. But, yeah, so was guy A, B, and C that did get in. Oh, well, he was a jerk to the writers. So, you know, it's their way of exacting their own petty vengeance against him.
Right.
And they've done it enough that I don't think that they really care about looking like the bad guy.
It sounds like it. It sounds they don't care.
I mean, sad it is. They do not. Like, nothing to me indicates that these people give any sort of care for how the general public might perceive the Hall of Fame or perceive them. Like, they're just like, oh, this is where I'm going to take out my grievances on baseball and the world and whatnot. That's just how it's going to be.
Yep.
And it sucks that it's like that, man. But unfortunately, short of overhauling the whole system, certainly I wouldn't mind that if we could kick some of these guys who vote on these things to the curb. I'd be entirely good with that, but short of that, I don't see how you fix it necessarily. Here's Empire of the Sun at your local alternative, Salt Lake Radio.
Did you happen to see, there was another death that came in there, Dikembe Mutombo,
yeah, I heard he passed earlier this week.
Yeah, brain cancer. And then
with the all-time defensive players in the NBA and one of the better finger waggers, too.
Yeah, Rob Schneider took this as an opportunity.
Wait, Rob Schneider's dead?
No, he's not. He's still kicking. Got himself in a little bit of trouble. Or does he even care that he's in trouble? Wouldn't
trouble imply that he was, like, relevant to more than, like, five people still?
I guess. He took to Twitter. He said, "Rest in peace. I'm sure this is just coincidence, but I took a pass on the jab, and I'm not going to let anyone I know and who will listen get it either." So here, Mutombo passes away from brain cancer, and Schneider takes that opportunity to get on a soapbox against the COVID vaccine.
Are you surprised by this?
No, not at all.
Even a little bit?
No, I was like, at some point, don't you just... somebody's got to pull him aside and say, you know what, why don't you just shut up?
Because he's already killed his career. The only thing he can do now is try to appeal to, like, the fringe wackos that believe every conspiracy theory they come across. That's really all he's got left. That and, you know, playing comedy sets at dive bars. That's really the only way, that's the only place he really has to go from here now.
I mean, if he keeps screwing around, he won't be in the next Adam Sandler movie.
Yeah, it's true. Like, I can't imagine that's going to help his... Because, I mean, at this point, that's the only thing this man has that resembles a career, no?
Oh, like, exactly.
What else does he still have?
Other than
appearing in Adam Sandler movies. There's nothing.
I'm L. King's dad. She won't admit it, though.
Yeah, she won't acknowledge you because you were a POS dad to hear her tell it.
Yeah. But I'm
shocking.
Sure, I'm sure there was, like, you know, Victoria Jackson likes this.
Well, duh, because she also is on the same, like, poorly run dive bar comedy circuit, because that's the only place that she can get gigs, you know, as long as, you know, until the place, you know, goes under and the owner disappears with what little money there is, you know.
Wow, that was oddly specific.
I know, right? I think there's people who have about 3,000 reasons to be mad at that guy.
Yeah, there's that.
But, at this point, he's just literally... I mean, the man's been a joke in, like, comedy circles for, what, how long ago was that South Park episode now? Like, 20 years?
Oh, yeah. Rob Schneider is a stapler.
The carrot! Like, yeah. Everything, like, you literally can't hear, you know, a Rob Schneider thing and not immediately start thinking, Rob Schneider, derp-de-derp-de-de.
Yeah. No, that's like, true, because, I mean, he just...
What has he done? What other than, like, Deuce Bigelow has he done in the last 20 years? And that wasn't even good.
No, it was an SNL joke that went 2 hours too long. That's what it is. But a lot of people were taking.
Hell, his SNL skits were jokes that went about 10 minutes too long.
Making copies, yeah, that got real fast because everybody trying to imitate that one. That one got.
So now he's just stuck screaming into the void to whatever conspiracy theorists will listen to his nonsense because no one's actually interested in his comedy.
Well, not Yeah, they don't care about that. They're like, you're right, brother, but I...
Hell yeah, brother.
I'm not going to pay $5 to see you tell jokes. Nope, sorry, brother.
I'm not going to watch another Deuce Bigelow movie. Sorry.
Yep, sorry, brother. Yeah, I mean, it's...
But keep on talking about those... Keep on owning those libs or whatever.
While
you have no career.
The comments were just rolling in. It's like, dude, read the room. Yeah, he died from brain cancer. Has nothing to... But, you know, he saw an opportunity... Maybe to get his name in print and on radio like we're right. doing, but maybe we're falling for his ruse.
Perhaps, but is it really working for him? Like I said,
is he
getting any shows out of this?
No, like, he's gonna be like, man, we need to get him on tour. I mean, imagine all the people that would just want to sit outside the backstage door and want to cuss him out.
So many, I'm sure. Like that's pretty much everybody. That's all they want to do at this point. Like right. because he's. No one's paying to go see those shows. I guarantee you no one's going to see those shows.
No. No, he had a hard time when he was in town here.
I forgot he was.
Yeah.
Probably didn't even sell out that show, I'll bet you.
I don't think so.
Yeah, that's a surprise.
Well, I remember because that venue shut down. They had to move it to the side.
No, wasn't that Chris Kattan?
That was Chris Kattan, yeah, that's right.
Like you're like Z-list SNLers who are like so apparently just indiscriminate at this point. I can't wait. Rob Schneider? No, that's Chris Kattan. No, that's a different guy. Like I can't tell the difference. Probably should put both of them on and Victoria Jackson on the apology list. Huh? Yeah. Might not be the worst idea.
No.
Here's Jim Blossoms at Solid State Radio. Blink 182, your local alternative Solid State Radio, and you know there's something we haven't done in a while. We haven't given any unsolicited advice in quite some time. And this is one that seems particularly tailored to the non-terrestrial side of our show. So sure. Good thing we're doing this today. So this is fantastic. Do you tell someone if you found any alt content of theirs? This can include close friends, OnlyFans content, their whatever fanfic, smut they've written on Wattpad, or their profile on Grindr.
You run across something that they've done, and you wondered if
it's a coworker.
Like
particularly, I think is what it's meant to.
I mean, if you run across somebody like sharing pictures of you, somebody sharing pictures of your coworker that you may want to let them know. But if it's something they voluntarily put on up there, then leave them alone. I mean, they should know the risk. Of putting, you know, an OnlyFans. I mean, you don't just accidentally get on OnlyFans.
No, that's not how that happens. Like, I feel like you don't really come out of that looking any better. Yeah, you're putting up stuff on OnlyFans. Well, you were looking at my OnlyFans,
yeah,
apparently.
No, I found your fan fiction. Your Silver Spoons Ricky Schroeder fan fiction. I just said some weird things, man.
Yeah, there are some things that we really just don't need to know about.
Especially that chapter where, you know, running a train through the living room was not exactly what we thought you were going to talk about. And
No, not so much.
it's not a good... It comes across as preachy. Comes across as...
Right.
You know, so, I mean, if they're not doing anything to hurt themselves or others, let them be.
Let them put all the smut they want on the internet, and don't be the guy that's gonna, or the guy or girl that's gonna go report it to the boss.
Oh, don't be that person.
Absolutely do not be that person. Like there's a very limited amount of things that you go and tell the bosses anything about as far as that stuff goes, and that is certainly not something that falls within that
realm.
Mr. Boss,
I ran across a fan video where. Tim over in accounting, he dressed up like Jared from Labyrinth and was dancing with his dog.
Like, who is served by knowing this information?
Yeah, the boss is just like, I did not need to see that.
I did not need to know this. I did not want to see that video. That is now permanently scarred.
Walking by Tim in accounting, he was just biting his tongue till it bleeds so he doesn't say, hey, you got the power. What power? The power of the babe.
Like, this just isn't something I needed to know, dude. Like,
no.
I my life was a lot better off before you made me aware of this. I hope you know that.
There is.
And you are absolutely not getting that promotion now.
I have something where a friend called me and I didn't know who it was.
Mm-hmm.
So I just like went to voice. I did the modern day thing, just went to the voicemail, and then I Googled the phone number, and it was, this was a long time ago, but
yeah,
I don't think he has the same phone number, but I Googled the phone number, and it was some gay site.
Oh,
I'll do this to you. You do this to me, and we'll do that. We'll have a great time, and call me at this number.
Well, that's lovely.
I'm like, oh, never told him that I found that because I just rather not know that.
This is not information I ever needed or wanted to know about you, and I'm certainly not going to inflict it on other people.
I'm certainly not going to kink shame anybody.
Okay, I might kink shame you a little bit because, like, there's a few things like I might shame you for, like. Most of which I probably couldn't, we can't discuss on a family-friendly radio show, but like even some of the more, you know, somewhat vanilla ones, like, I'm sorry, you feed people, you're weird. You're weird, and I refuse to...
You feed
the feet people are weird.
Oh, feet.
the people with the foot fetish. Like, you people are weird. And I will never understand you.
I tell you, you need to suck on a woman's toes.
No!
Eating out of your hand.
Absolutely not. Not gonna happen.
Should follow you into the fires.
No. Absolutely positively not. Like, but so I will kink shame, but I'm not necessarily going to, like, okay, I will judge you a little bit, but I'm not gonna publicly judge you. I'm just gonna be like, you know what, I'm gonna avoid being, you know, alone in a room with that person. That's all. Keep that, guard that with my life, and never ever speak of it again.
Yeah, I guess after a while, you know, you might forget. I don't know. But yeah, don't bring it up. Don't embarrass it. You have that information. Keep it to yourself. You bring it up to them is only designed to embarrass them.
Yeah, like, you know, that's the only reason you're doing this is because you're trying to embarrass them or get a rise out of them in some way. It's not because you
care. I saw.
Not because you care about the company's reputation.
No.
Like, how much do you really care about these things for a company that's going to fire you in 2 weeks anyway? the next time that, you know, the economy takes a you know what, you're going to be the one of the first people in the chopping block for layoffs.
Yeah, we're going to lay some people. We're definitely laying off Tim in accounting. Come on in here, Tim. We just want to say thanks. You're no longer needed. So dance, magic dance. You've probably never seen Labyrinth. All these jokes are just going right over your head.
I've not.
There's people who have watched Labyrinth multiple times. They're just laughing. They're swerving the car almost into oncoming traffic. Be careful out there, folks.
Yeah, I'm sure they are. Please. Seek help, but...
Find the footage. How you doing? Find the archives. Let Rachel hear it. She'll love it.
No, what? Let her hear what? Labyrinth?
The Labyrinth references on this show today.
She's probably seen the movie. I'm sure she has.
She's seen the movie. I guarantee she could probably quote the whole thing.
I don't know if I'll go that far, but...
All right. Well, at the Christmas party, I'm going to make it a point.
Are we having a Christmas party?
I mean Halloween party.
Oh, okay.
Halloween party.
I'm going to go
in front of you, and I'm going to say, you got the power, and she's going to fall right in there. The power of what? Power of the babe.
She probably is. It's happy hour. Solid State Radio. Happy hour. It is, well, extra happy hour today because the Tigers won 5-2 in the final. They win the series. They'll be moving on to face Cleveland in the ALDS starting on Saturday. We'll talk plenty about it tomorrow with all the audio and all that good stuff. In the meantime, Sessions is next. See you tomorrow at 3.